Yeah, that's where we are. Yeah. Okay. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with Agency 27, and Senator Nicholas wants to visit with us about that before, and then we'll jump that to the end this afternoon.
Okay, so I think the idea is on 27, before people make up their mind what the level of capital construction is, we want to make sure that we have a Section 300 for the contractors that satisfies the executive branch. Where we're at on that is the amendment that I had was has been vetted with almost everybody. The contractors, Jonathan, I don't know if you've seen the latest draft, but it is the UW made some good changes, I thought, to it last night. That was sent to the governor's office. And I've not heard back from the governor's office. So what sometime this morning I'll go down and meet with them. We need to make sure that gets vetted, gets to the contractors so they can see it. I think it's actually a good product. I think it's getting better. And frankly, I don't think I ever understood the problem until we had the hearing the other day. And I'll accept that while school facilities were selected out, I really think the University of Wyoming was where a lot of the complaints were developing it. And we're still not through there because the university is saying that the AML funds are federal dollars, and by expending those, they can't comply with our bid preferences. And one of the things that we might talk about today is whether to say, fine, if we're going to build the STEM building, we require the university to take those federal dollars and do the supplanting and use state dollars and use in-state preferences. So we say move the federal dollars to run your federal programs in the university and then swap out the $50 million. But that'll take some thinking through the day. Having said that, here's the second part of the concern. With regard to the Facilities Commission, we made a drastic change in the way that we now manage schools in the last year and a half. In the past, 2 years ago, the Facilities Commission had a lump sum budget to go out and begin planning of buildings, the Phase 1, Phase 2, so they always had ramped up $100 million worth of construction, sometimes $200 million. What was happening, of course, is they would ramp up, say, 10 schools. Five of them wouldn't be ready. They'd go out and build the other five, but those other five might have been ranked lower than the top five. And that was creating such hostile problems that the facilities, the select committee that Representative Harshman was a co-chair of, said, we're not going to do that. We're going to tee everybody up in order. Well, by doing that, we're teeing up the planning dollars with the construction dollars. So instead of having a group of 10 schools out there that are getting ready to be built a year from now, 2 years from now, and 3 years from now, we don't have that unless we tee up all the dollars for the schools, because the select committee, for example, in the Sheridan situation, they didn't like it where you built half of a school and the second half of the dollars weren't there. And we said we're going to stop doing that, so we're not going to tee up schools until all the money is allocated for a school. So now you don't get the planning money until you get all the money. So if you're not giving the planning money until you give all the money, and that's our policy, that's fine. Then we got to start teeing up $100 million worth of construction 2 years in advance. Because if we tee up the Casper schools, we're teeing that up for 2012. And if we don't tee them up right now, come 2012, there won't be anybody ready to do their schools. Next year, we have to tee up 2013. And so we're teeing them up 2 years in advance. And if we lose that opportunity, then a couple things happen. One is you don't have $100 million worth of construction there, your contractors are starving, and then, or you try to push them too fast and you get a bad product, or you end up with a situation where we skip a year, and you skip a year, and then now you can't catch it up because we don't have the contracting capacity. So what we're trying to do is keep our planning at about $100 to $150 million every year for construction. So we're now planning for 2012, and right now we don't have any buildings in planning stage for 2012. So we have to get the governor straightened out, but we've got to also do that. And I think, did I say that right, Mr. Co-Chairman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you're partially correct. And if you look at page 9 and 10 on the supplemental, what you're saying is correct, but there is some planning going on, but probably not to the level that is going to do that 250 to 300 per biennium type of construction. So I agree with you on that. But remember our time here last year sitting in these chairs, it looked pretty bleak for the whole education setup for the next 4 years, and we did something we'd never done, is try to take a four-year forecast. Well, we were incorrect. Get more money. So do I think there's some more room for design money? I agree with you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think there is. And what those are, there's $5.5 million on page 9 that are in the supplemental budget for planning. There could be some more, I think. These are all pretty small projects except for, you got some elementary schools and looking at maybe a new Rollins High School and a new Evanston Middle School on page 9 there, the descriptions. I don't have the list of their priority list, what's even next, frankly. I don't even have that with me. I don't know
The way you've got this set up is that if Laramie, for example, their high school is lower than Casper, now you've got a situation where you can't get to Laramie, you can't get to these lower priorities until Casper is done. That's what the select committee did. So if we don't get Casper there, then they hold up everybody behind them, and if they're not ready to go, we won't have $100 million of construction in 2012.
Scenario, Mr. Chairman, under that scenario, I guess if you take a large, like the Natrona secondary projects, a large project similar to the Cheyenne schools, it's 13% of the kids in Wyoming, you're correct on that, but everything I've been told by my local guys, they're picking architects this week, actually, and they think they'll be at, I don't know their different design levels, 10%, and then they go to where they draw construction drawings. They think they're going to be able to get construction drawings out and bids rolling next fall and hopefully get dirt flying late in the fall or January of next year.
They can only do that if the appropriations teed up this year.
They already have planning. They were appropriated planning money 3-4 years ago.
Well, then we need to have the planning in front of them for the next year.
I agree with you. I don't disagree. And there's $5.5 million. I think there could be a little more planning money put into this. I don't disagree with you at all. And a lot of our planning money is not, it's not design money yet. It's not like what we call on state buildings where we go to that level 2 or three. Once we get that point, we're committed. Well, this isn't quite that same. We could still have the opportunity if the budget crashes. We haven't thrown good money after bad.
Well, I don't know that we're disagreeing. We can't get done in 2012 unless we start appropriating for those projects.
So, Mr. Chairman,
we have the money there.
Do you think we ought to contact SFC this morning and let them come up with another set of planning?
I think it was laid out. I think.
Well, I know we have this sheet.
The only question is, do we now begin to authorize with current profile dollars that next set, in which we know won't happen until 2012? Remember, with school facilities commission dollars, unlike these capital construction dollars, don't revert unless they're not used. So, unlike the other budgets, if you're teeing up Casper, once you put the money aside, if Casper doesn't build for 3 or 4 years, then the money sits there until they get built. But then we can at least move to next schools in the next cycle.
Yeah.
But given the size of Casper, we're going to have to insist that they hit the summer or the year that we want them to hit. We can't allow a $100 million city to say, we can't get it together, and we're not going to use the contractors that summer, because if they don't use it in the summer that we plan for them, then we're going to either have $200 million the next summer, and we don't have enough contractors for that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, are you suggesting maybe supporting the supplemental appropriation with a little caveat that if use it or kind of lose it, we're bypassing you?
I think that's – I'd like to see that, to say, look, Casper, you – if you're going to have $100 million construction, you need to hit that summer of 2012. If you don't, then tell us so that we can line up another $100 million that summer. I mean, if you say, well, we can't go till 2013,
yeah,
then we need another $100 million to go through 2011. Now, that's what the Facilities Commission was doing that got Sheridan so upset, because they would see that a Casper, for example, couldn't hit 2012, so they'd go down the list, pick up other people, put them in 2012. Then Sheridan says, wait a minute, and we wanted to get finished that summer, and they said, well, you weren't ready, and we get into this argument. But what we have to do as the Appropriations Committee is make sure that every summer there's about $100 to $150 million construction going on.
Well, and part of that, too, Mr. Co-Chairman, that we identified last year was that if you have multi-phases, which is what Sheridan was, and you finish a phase and you have a construction crew there, and then you dismantle that construction crew, that was $5 million just in taking them off the facility when they had the plan ready and approved. So that's part of it, and
well,
which we kind of fixed those phases. But that's what's important, too, is to make certain if you already have a contractor there and you're moving dirt and demolition, that it takes place.
Madam Co-Chair, I think you're mobilization cost. Absolutely right. And remember, last year we funded what were phase one of the two of the schools in Casper, Natrona and Kelly Wall, $7.5 million each. That money's not been spent yet because they're obviously not ready. But this appropriation is more of a phase two. It's, and I think, what is it, $84 million or something for those three schools. It's probably not done yet. I mean, I don't know that. We'll know more when the actual drawings are done and you bid it out. It's when you know. Well, but we might be back here a year asking for the final third phase in the $15-20 million deal.
Maybe I could put it another way to try to drive home the point, and that is this. We took away much of the discretion that the School Facilities Commission has to leapfrog projects. And in fact, Mr. Coleman, Chairman Harshman, you were one of the persons that wanted to take that away. Having done that, we now, because we took that discretion away from them, that discretion now resides in the Appropriations Committee to make sure that there's $150 million, if we're moving at $150 million burn rate, every year there has to be $150 million worth of projects ready to go. If we don't get, if Casper is scheduled to do it 2012, we need to make sure that they're ready to go and they go in 2012. If Casper says we're not going to be ready for 2013, I don't care if we hold the money in Casper, but we have enough money now to tune up another $100 million and say, okay, the lower schools, you go in 2012, and Casper, you go in 2013. But Casper is too big of a community for us to say, well, when you're ready, we'll go. They have to be planned in our construction cycles.
Go ahead.
Representative Edmonds.
Just a question. I mean, so is this a one-time policy shift from what the School Facilities Commission is now doing, just placing in the hands of appropriations, or do we see this as something we want long-term, and is it best resided with us, or is it something that the SFC should be dealing with?
It's,
Mr. Co-Chairman.
This is the way it is. That was the bill that's passed.
Yeah.
And what we said was we want more legislative oversight and control over building construction. So now the commission provides a schedule. It goes to the select committee. The select committee is a permanent committee. And the select committee makes a recommendation on priorities. So instead of having the facilities commission, they develop the recommendation. It goes to the select committee. They have the recommendation. And what we do is fund those recommendations. And all I'm saying is that since that's what's happening, we have to tee up and make sure that we have about 3 to 4 years of planning.
Well,
because
these
schools take 3 to 4 years to plan and get going.
And also, Mr. Co-Chairman said that the reason that there wasn't more recommendation is because at that time our correct projections our financial picture did not look good, so your committee did take a conservative action on that. Can you remind me, Mr. Co-Chairman, what the bill number was that we outlined last year for SFC?
Madam Chair,
so
there's been,
the committee could look
there's
at
been
that
about
too.
Three bills
yeah.
that have kind of worked that over a little bit. And I think we're in a good place right now. I think so there's a couple things. But we have, I think, a duty to follow the statute where the one we fix the worst first.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. And I don't know that that was always done. And I think things were moved around. I think all of you represent schools that were on and off and on and off. And we're trying now to get this is the list. And we're just going to start working down that list. And we're doing that. I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. Now, as far as the Natrona deal, it is kind of unique because it's so large and it's a large amount of money. I think the testimony from the director of SFC was that if we did not appropriate the his suggested amount, and keep in mind these amounts aren't in concrete, they're going to probably go up, but if we did not appropriate, we'd probably lose 3 months of opportunity, and there's an opportunity cost with that, because Natrona will probably be ready to really make the dirt fly in January, February-ish, March, but if we don't appropriate it, it'll be, you know, May and June till next year. So I think if you want to appropriate that and get Natrona off the block and say, you know, we the intention is to get this construction going and by the summer 2012, I think you say that. But as far as to try to hold them to that, we don't know what anything could happen. You don't know. There could be lawsuits. There could be all kinds of stuff. And to say use it or lose it, haven't done that.
Now, Chairman, I don't understand what you've just told me. And here's why I don't understand it. If we know under our planning that Natrona is the next on the one hand, I agree what you said, and you've told us we have a list and we're going to adhere to a list. Okay? That's it. So if we have a list and we're going to adhere to the list, and we have the money, and we know that construction should go throughout 2012, why would you wait at all? What would be the point of waiting until next year? We want those. We don't want to have a three-month delay. We want them ready to go. We want to take the uncertainty out. We want them going. I don't know why
Mr.
you
chairman,
create uncertainty.
I don't think there's any intention to wait. I talked to my school board chairman for an hour there night, and he says, make sure and tell everybody that Natrona is ready. We want to make dirt fly with the $7.5 million next fall on some of the work around
and make
get
sure
ready.
You're talking about next fall. You're talking about 2012.
I know, but with the $7.5 million, Madam Chair, that we have now to even get started with, I mean, there's going to be roads rerouted, things done, houses moved. I mean, there's a lot of work to do. It's
okay,
pretty.
Okay, and then now suppose as you pointed out.
So they're ready. That's the deal.
Suppose as you point out, there's a lawsuit or something like that, and for reasons that we can't expect, Natrona can't go in 2012. What's our backup plan?
Mr. Coach?
Well, I think, Madam Chair, it's what we've appropriated in here. And there's a significant amount of money. I mean,
is there $100 million
of construction? We had about $120 million we appropriated in the budget, and then we're asking for about another, with the Natrona projects, what is another, I don't know, $100 million, I guess.
Well,
and construction.
Madam Chair, I think you pointed out my point, and that is this. If in 2012 we want Natrona to go, we have to fund it now and said, Natrona, you get ready 2012 so that if they come back the next session and they say we're not ready, then we have the next session to tee up another group of buildings. But if we wait until next session, we'll be having the same discussion. Are you ready to go or aren't you?
Yes. That's it.
Anyway, Matt, so we can talk about it later. So, but that's... We're now planning on a cycle that's 3 years outside the budget cycle. We're setting money aside now that will be spent outside of the two-year cycle for capital construction. When you tee up, for example, the university STEM building, it is unlikely that's going to be built in 2 years. It won't be built probably to 2013. So with CapCon, we're making plans, and you got to realize you got all these contractors out there. You've got for road construction. Road is different because YDOT can burn that money in a summer. But for these big buildings, you're teeing them up for 2, 3, and 4 years.
Well, Mr. Co-Chairman, since we've had this intense discussion, do you think we can work 27? Because, I mean, or do you want...
I think we're going to get a Section 300 that's going to meet the governor's approval.
Okay, so we'll just
hold that. I'm happy to, I mean, from my point of view, I don't
know. Well, why do we need the Section 300 for this at this point when we...
We don't. I mean, I...
You already talked about the money, so we can just have that amended. So let's
do it. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Where is... Let's pull out
the
last spreadsheet.
So here we are. We're on the spreadsheet that we were given that was revised.
That's the one I want.
Is this page 10?
Page 10, huh?
What? Oh, we got something revised from those guys.
No.
Imagine that.
I got to figure out what I did with mine.
You know, Representative Wallace isn't here, Senator Nicholas, so I think we should probably wait.
It's a big issue. Let's have her here.
So let's do that later. Yeah.
We'll hold it back.
Okay. So we're going to hold off on 27. Thank you for that discussion. And then we should have the – oh, and Senator Meyer, I'm sorry.
Just – I'm sorry. On 27,
go ahead, Representative Hart.
Is there any chance we could ask the school facilities folks to bring us kind of the rest of, I mean, we just see on page 10 of their handout and their new handout, it must be in my book, but just kind of bring us a little more of the list. What else is, we see what's up right now. I'd like to see what's on the horizon.
Mr. Co-Chairman, that's what I had wanted, is that I know there's more.
Is that on there?
Or
is no.
Madam Chair,
okay.
Is the next page the one that's not included?
Well, we wanted.
I don't think that's.
We wanted a cleaned up report on that, and so if we could just call them and have them bring that to us.
What are you talking about now?
You want to use that one, Steve?
Is that your, Madam Co-Chair? Is that your? I don't think this has enough info.
Yeah, I didn't think so either because it was pretty tentative.
Because a lot of these aren't necessarily construction remedies,
right?
And I don't know what the remedy is. I guess I'd like to see. What are the next planning construction type remedies? Some of these are just little things, you know.
Okay, so let's we'll give them a call.
But I guess, Madam Chair, if you look at that page 10 on that there, you know, I was thinking about we authorize everything on that page to move forward.
Yeah.
$180 million, and, you know, before we were doing $400 million per group.
Well, we could do that, but let's.
I'd like to get a little more info. I'm
Representative
not,
Harshman, can you take care of that when we?
What information do you want, Ms.?
Well, I'd like to know what
years.
These remedies are, Madam Chair. I just like Douglas Primary is already funded. We're going to do that. I don't know what Story Elementary School, if that's a new school or if that's a roof replacement or if that's a.
What page
HVAC.
Are you looking at?
I'm looking at that. I'm looking at their.
Try the next page.
11?
Try 12.
12? Well, 12 is the construction.
These ones are already out there and working, I think, Madam Chair.
Madam Chairman, let's just try this. I mean, do you really want to wait to pursue it?
Could I just make a comment from Senator Meyer first?
Okay.
Thanks.
Madam Chairman, this was part of the discussion we had today. It's part of the reason I had concerns about all of the Casper schools here the other day, but in one place, in part. But all we really have to do, we've got like seven things that are on design. We just authorize those to go below the Casper schools because they're on design. They're going to be the next ones in priority. That's why they're on design. We add some more money to the design, ask the school facilities folks to go ahead and we authorize them $5 million to plan within the priority structure for planning and design. And they're already on the list. I don't know whether we need to know whether they're there or not because they're already prioritized. They're on the list. Just give them $5 million more for planning and design. Tell them to do that accordingly. Tell them, and then we authorize a pot of money to put the other planning design projects that are already in that phase, to put them on the bottom of Casper. And then if you want to say don't not use it or lose it, but say that if Casper doesn't get their act together, then they'll lose 2% of the total that they have to come up with, you know, on local authorities. And we've been assured that Casper can do that, that they're moving ahead. That just gives them a incentive to move ahead like they've told us they're going to do. But then you get everything just lined out and right down the road.
Mr. Co-Chairman?
Madam Chairman, we're making this way too hard.
Yes, we are.
All we have to do is authorize the sheet that's all the funding authority on page 10, $180 million. Then the design money that we put in naturally goes to the next on the list. It's not any harder than that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about penalties and things like that. We just
it's been seconded by Stewart. It's been seconded by Stewart, and this is the handout number 37 of Agency 27 and page 10, correct?
I didn't quite say that. What did you say?
You want to say your handout that you're making the motion from? Because that page is not in our book, okay?
All right. It's open. Handout.
We've been on 27 since 7:15.
School facilities handout, page 10. I move that we authorize all of the funding capital expenditures outlined on that, totaling $180,934,428.
There was a second by Stewart. Further discussion. Mr. Mai.
Madam Chair, all I would do is just clarify with the co-chair, if that's okay. Phil, I talked with Dave Nelson yesterday and Dave Gruber about how to structure this thing, and I think the preference that we have as an office is to just add another Section 300 similar to the one that you did last year, so that last year's Section 300 dealing with SFC is clean, stands by itself. This one, same way.
I'd agree.
I would concur. Representative Stewart.
We're still on the motion?
Yes, it's open for discussion.
Okay.
Again, I think I mentioned this when we were talking about this before. Of course, my decision does really hinge on how we handle how the money tips from our school foundation and how much we'll leave as a balance. So, Madam Chair, when would we be talking about that? Would that be at the end of of this, or could we talk about that a little bit now? Because this is a significant amount of money. I mean, we have it all there, but it is important to me to know how we will handle that balance.
Go ahead, Mr. Mai.
Madam Chair,
I think I'd agree with you.
Representative Stewart, you have to bear in mind when you're looking at these profiles, this is profiled as of the end of FY12, so a year from June 30th coming up, year and a half from now. So really, if you want to, and Representative Harshman and I were talking about this morning, is when's the appropriate time to address that issue again? In my opinion, and it's my opinion only, it'd be next budget bill. You know, the next full budget bill, because you're covered through this budget cycle. Nothing's going to happen until you pass that next budget bill as far as those tips go. So as far as keeping things from going into the corpus and all of that, none of that would happen until after you pass another budget bill next year.
So we would have more current figures, and we'd work that extensively when marking up the budget for next year.
For this
year.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I guess my thinking on the tips and everything at this point is that we don't have, I mean, as we put in more capital construction, that's going to affect everything. It's going to roll things differently. And then we'll be back next year before the tips take place, and then that's be the time to handle it.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, we might, if we have a bunch more revenue, we might want the tips to take place. If we don't have more revenue, we won't.
Representative Edmonds?
Madam Chair, I'm going to resist the motion more than anything because I've had pretty long conversations with Representative Wallace. This is a huge chunk of the budget, and I know she wanted to be a part of this debate, and I just am not comfortable going forward with her not present.
Mr. Chairman? And
Mr. Co-Chairman?
Madam Chair, and committee, I just kind of went through some of these design projects. If you'd flip to page 11, just so we know what we're designing with this. And so Douglas Primary will be designed and built. But as you go through these, the fourth one, a new North Casper Elementary School, the Moorcroft Elementary School, Evanston Middle School, Metal Arc Elementary School in Johnson, Fort Washakie, skip one to Dubois, then Granger, then Rollins. Those are all teed up then with this motion to be designed?
All right. Well, that's what I'm not sure. That's Senator Meyer just having a discussion. The needs index ranking on 1 through 36. I think our conclusion was is the only thing, if with the $180 million, the only design dollars that are within that motion are the design ones on the list. So the only designs you've got is that all we have, or is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's in two parts on this page they give us on page 10. There's some at line 15 on page 10, 15, 16, 17, and then there's some more at line 35, 37, 39, 40.
Well, the discussion that we're also having here is why don't we add another $6 million in of design and have them begin to go down and tee up some more to get ready for design? Any reason why we shouldn't do that?
Madam Chairman, I don't know what the numbers are. I think we could ask SFC. They could bring us back numbers for design because, you know, I'm not sure that Lingle Fort Laramie Elementary School, I don't know what that entails. I don't know. It might be just a remodel. I don't know. So it might not take as much.
Well, we've got about $4 or $5 million of design, and if we want to say let's get the next round of design goes, $6 million would do that.
Well, I don't know how far it'd go. That might be two schools, might be three, might be one. I don't know. Yeah. I guess I would want to know because if we want to design down through six, seven, eight more schools, then let's get the number of what that is. That's my point.
All right. So, Co-Chairman Harshman, let's have you do that when we get a break,
okay,
or you contact SFC with those questions, so that they can give us an updated schedule. And then I would ask the sponsor and the co-sponsor on this amendment to withdraw those, and we'll just leave this open until we come back later today. You withdraw your motion?
Withdrawn.
Okay, it's withdrawn. Okay, great. Good conversation. Any other questions for Co-Chairman Harshman before we put him on a mission?
And, Madam Chair, I think in time we can get a little more. The thing that was just motioned on line 18 on page 10, $475,000 for construction at Granger. And Senator Hastert might have some information, but last I heard it was like four kids. And I don't know if we're ready. I don't know that, and I guess I'd like more info. But.
Madam Chairman, I can get that, but I think that the information I had is when I saw that and stepped out to call the district that day, the projections were 15.
Yeah. So there you go. You know, so, and that's fine. And I guess we'll just trust the commission to make sure that they do that right. And that's what we have to do. So thank you. Okay.
Madam Chairman. Rosie?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'd like to just put into place how far the design money would go. If you look at it, these schools don't cost over $900,000 as far as the top one to design. So if we put out $6 million, we're roughly going to get six or seven schools into the pipeline. You know, so that's about how many schools you're going to actually end up doing.
That's well stated. We just want to put more, open up the pipeline. Doesn't mean we're going to build them. It just gets the pipeline opened up.
Sure. And
we're going to have takeout capacity.
And, Madam Chair, I think, I just want to know what schools we're even looking at, because we don't know. I mean, we're sitting there today. We don't, and I can get that info.
Madam Chairman, you know what they are because you know what the list is, don't you?
But, Madam Chair, we don't know what the remedies are to these. These aren't necessarily all design and construction remedies.
Well, they
might be a new roof.
Madam Chairman, we don't have to line them up. The select committee does that
later.
It doesn't.
That's true, but I think
today.
You'd want to know what you're appropriating for.
The next
maybe
six
not.
Schools. Whatever they are.
Okay. Hey, let's do it.
All right.
Democracy that's best.
Okay. Representative Harshman has his marching orders. So let's try a new department, 36. And page 9 of the department is their priorities. And
motion GovsRec.
GovsRec. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Moved close. Call the vote.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's closed. Okay. 40. And we're on page 7 for their priorities. and the first governor's rec is on page 16, and the explanation is on page 14. And this is for aquatic invasive species, and this is for continuing that project for the next season. Senator Meyer?
I don't recall any discussion. I think we asked a question maybe, but I don't recall any reply, and maybe we didn't even ask a question about can we even begin to make this program self-sustaining? It is a user fee, and I didn't know what the discussion was on that.
Madam Chairman, the discussion was that they were only collecting, I can pull my notes out there, but about $400,000. It'll never sustain itself. Not enough people are paying.
Right. It generated $435,000 in user fees. We appropriated in the first go around $1.5 million. GNF spent $2 million. And the reason for the additional FTE with this request for the program itself was that they want to take their supervisors out of the field and less supervisors from GNF. Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Would it be inappropriate, and I know how interim committees hate this when we direct them to do something, but could we request that Travel and Rec look at it as far as what other options could be available to make it self-sustaining?
Madam Chair.
Senator Von Flatern.
I did sit in on at least one of their committee meetings last year when they presented this, and unless something's changed, they had pretty well beat all of their ideas, unless you raise fees comparable to the cost of the program. And I don't know about you, but I heard enough feedback that was against fees, you know, the fact they're even paying and they didn't want to pay any more. So I don't know if it would be worth the committee's time.
Let me ask, does anybody have any bills up on their respective houses? I'm inclined we'll excuse ourselves and finish up the day. We got to finish this up. And one of the things that when Representative Wallace gets back, we have to remember that we're sitting as the Joint Appropriations Committee. And when we're meeting as a JAC, if you have a bill up in Judiciary, we'll talk to the Chairman of Judiciary and tell him to hold your bill. And because we got to get this budget out. So sometime before 10, what we should do is go in, take our roll calls, and after roll calls, we'll all come back here and finish up the budget. Otherwise, we're not going to get it done today.
Yeah, I concur. Okay. So are there any other changes or discussion to the governor's rec?
Madam Chair.
Representative Edmonds.
Madam Chair, I would agree with Senator Meyer. And I understand Senator Von Flatern's statements that it may be a lesson in futility, but I have had concerns about this from the beginning. And my questions have been, you know, we build this huge program. I know we all want to think positively that we're going to keep this out of the state. No other state has been successful in doing that, none. And as much as we'd like to think we can do it, I have a hard time believing that we can. And we're ramping up a huge division in the game and fish. I would like to make sure that we monitor them if it could possibly be self-sustaining. I know in the testimony we discussed having game and fish shift and look at the priority lakes and not every single body of water in the state. I think there's further development, and I don't have any problem with asking the Travel and Rec just to take another look at this.
And we can do that, but we do have an extensive report that we in JAC required that you have in your handout. Which is number 22 in Agency 40, which outlines the whole program and what they did to be able to establish the program. Mr. Mai, did you want to comment? In case you haven't seen it, it's the big black book that you all have on your shelf that you would have your handout in. So they actually have shown all of the processes that they went through in designing the program. But, I mean, if the committee wants to add a footnote, they can. Go ahead.
Madam Chair.
Senator Von Flatern.
Representative Edmonds is correct that this, and Senator Meyer, that this should be self-sustaining in my mind, too. But it does have a deeper state interest in there. You know, there are water sources that are picking out of these lakes, and it would cost somebody money to clean the intake pipes up. And so that's beyond boating recreation. So I agree, but, you know, it's hard to slap a $100 inspection fee on every boat or something that would be needed. And it's a tough spot. But, yes, you do have pretty good figures on the operational cost.
And the
Chairman.
In my few years of experience, my experience is that, and I've sat on TRW. TRW is incapable of providing anything that's self-sustaining, and they've got both game and fish and parks. And if you want to make this thing self-sustaining, you want to put the momentum, and it is true that the argument is made that the funding for this is a greater issue than it's an ag issue. It's a water issue, so if you want to get it self-sustaining and get their attention, take the money out of Water 3 instead of out of the general fund.
Senator Meyer.
So we could direct the committee in the legislature that's most has the most experience with revenue, and direct it to the revenue committee to get a fresh perspective. What say you, Revenue Committee member?
I'm Chair, I think part of this issue is this in-state, out-of-state tags. I mean, there's some things we can do to raise a little revenue. We fought this in the House, and
right.
It's pretty minimal. So,
Madam Chairman, maybe if the notion is that there's only, I mean, you can see the revenue. If you look on page 15, the revenue source that's generated from the licensing is special revenue. It's $450,000. That's the profiled amount. So the general fund is the $1.1 million. So the 1.1 was the request, and the Gov's rec moves it around, so 610 comes out of it. So 610, you could say, if that is the amount that it comes out of the general fund, why shouldn't it come out of the Water 3? In fact, that's what we're doing, is protecting the water systems around the state.
Mm-hmm. Senator Von Flatern.
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, is that Mr.
Came,
Co-Chair,
yeah,
is that a motion?
Gone.
Did I hear a motion? Or
oh, hold on a second.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, we have the governor's rec on the table.
Okay.
So we're in discussion. A motion. Okay.
I move that we move the funding source of the 610,762 to 962 to Water 3.
So 610,976 out of general fund into Water 3. And there was a second by Meyer. Discussion on the amendment. Okay, Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. where's my notes? I resist this amendment, of course. Water Account 3 clearly was set up for large storage projects, and not the intention of this to fund a program like this. And also, I'm trying to dig back. We looked at trying to incorporate some of this into the water development program as well when this came out last year, and it just really doesn't fit in water development. And in fact, there was some resistance, I think, from Game and Fish to have this work together. But I'm struggling to figure that out. And that said, I think, personally, I think it's a better fit with the water development program. But water quality issues really don't fall within the water development program.
Madam Chairman, if we allow the endangered species, invasive species, to take hold, we'll have lots of water storage.
Just to remind folks, too, that they are covering 53 different bodies of water currently. Senator Von Fladern?
I'd like to amend the motion to say water, too, because water, too, is actually rehabilitation and water sources. So if Representative Stewart has an issue with taking it out of the big dam projects, I would amend the motion to say water, too.
I don't think we can do that. I'd like Mr. Tempty to talk about that, please.
Madam Chairman, just looking at the profile for water, too, and knowing what's in the omnibus bills coming out of water, too, there's no money in there for that.
So that would be really good. That would be a good thing to have as we're moving things around, is to have your goldenrod out.
Madam Chair, I'm still remembering some of the operating criteria for water account three, and part of the definition, of course, is large storage projects, and there's been attempts to fund smaller reservoirs that just don't fit the minimum amount. I think there's a dollar amount as well as a storage amount, so I clearly don't think it fits within the operating criteria, as well as I just think it's an end run. Somebody trying to pull something here. So, Madam Chair.
All right, Representative Stewart, and if you do look at your goldenrod, Water Development 3 only has $114 million available. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would just speak against this. Water Development 3 is set up for a specific purpose, which is to build large storage of our most precious resource that we have in this state. And I just see this as not appropriate.
Opposed?
No.
Chairs in doubt. How many ayes? Loud ayes. Okay, it's failed. We're back on the governor's rec. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. All those in favor of closing. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not ready yet. Okay, we're on unit 8101 on page 20 with the description, 460,000.
Madam Chair, Governor's that's CAPCON.
Oh, yep, that's right. All those in favor of closing Department 40, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Closed. And we're on to 45, Department of Transportation. How do we want to? Mr. Co-Chairman, would you? Yeah, we know we're going to hold Agency 27 off until the next break because of getting more information. Okay. Now, Mr. Co-Chairman, do you want to handle Department of Transportation now or later as the source? Okay. That's all right, Mr. Co-Chairman. We're on to the Department of Transportation. So this is a discussion of funding for the for the supplemental. Do we want to have that conversation now or have that later? Because based on the governor's rec, it was with the diversion out of Sproff. Senator Von Fladern, so the discussion on the funding for the Department of Transportation 45, if you...
My recommendation is that we defer the highway construction.
We defer the highway construction. We pick up, we debate the air enhancements, and we'll then... but the governor's rec with respect to the additional road construction would come later. So actually, I mean, this budget, I think all that happens is that he denied the construction dollar request of $24 million or $20 million. He added the two. And so the total profile sheet is shown as just a $2 million on page three. And then we would talk about supplementing, if any, at the end of the day when we're talking about our budget balancers.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I believe, isn't Governor Meade's recommendation to take the enhancement back to 3.9, though?
It is, yes. That's the governor's rec.
Say that again.
Governor's rec is bring air enhancement back to the full amount that was requested by the agency. So that was...
3.9.
Exactly.
So
that's
Madam,
the governor's
Madam
rec
Chair?
Senator Von Flater.
I would move that the 3.9... Governor's rec be agreed to by the committee.
Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
Motion to accept the governor's rec.
Okay. Second on that. Further discussion on the air enhancement. Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Motion carries.
Madam Chairman?
Richard.
I have a question on that.
Sure.
Normally in supplemental requests, unless it's like one-time funds or something, or other issue, it's clearly a one-time item, the amount for the standard budget gets doubled. Is there any direction on this, whether we
Madam Chairman, I move that the 3.949 be a one-time appropriation that it not be returned to the standard budget that has to be requested, so it's one-time appropriation.
Is there a second? Second by Edmonds. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, so that's one time. So the rest is then the surface discussion, so that'll be later. Correct, Bill? Okay. All right, we'll move on. You want to close it? If we still have to discuss service? Okay. Motion to close the agency. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? It's closed. Let's take a break. Since Matt got here, that's perfect. Okay. Let's be back at 8:25.
Chairman, the why we met up with the both majority floor leaders, and the idea is to switch second and third reading. Ask for our help, okay, so that your bills don't come up today.
Madam Chairman?
Mr. Co-Chairman, I think if you...
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Representative X.
Then if we have a bill on general file, do you want us to have the chairman of the committee go ahead and run it? If it's
That's your call. If you think it's a bill that's healthy enough to make it through, don't worry about it. If you think you need to be there, then ask him to pull it off till Monday.
Yeah. You can just move it down.
Okay.
How's that?
So talk to him and just make sure that, again, if you think the bill will pass... Send it on through. If not, then pull it off to Monday.
All right. We're going to start on our next agency, 48, Department of Health. So we open that up, and their priorities are on page 6. And the first unit to be open is 120. This was actually... an adjusted amount by the agency. The governor's rec was $1.54 million, and the agency requested to reduce that to $600,000. If you recall, this is the tax refund elderly and disabled account, so they were able to give us current numbers through the end of December. On page 9, where the reduction in the fund request because of actual numbers, so, you know, because they always have to plan in advance. So now they have the current numbers, so it reduces the agency's request to $600,000. Correct. Yeah, unit 120. Yeah, which I gave Mr. Co-Chairman that it's reduced now. The amount the agency needs is $600,000, not $1.5 million.
How much?
They need $600,000.
$600,000?
Yes.
Richard?
Senator Von Platern?
I make a motion to accept the agency's new recommendation of $600,000.
Okay. There's a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So... on that unit, that's it. So governor's rec amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We're on unit 420. This has to do with the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP. And this is the governor's rec. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Unit 461 is the governor's rec.
Time out.
Okay. Page 20 is the description.
Let's make sure, looking on page 21, what's changed, if anything, from Governor Mead to Governor, from Governor?
There was no change.
Madam Chair?
Senator Von Platern?
Are we still in timeout?
We're still in discussion. Yes, go for it.
Well, I was going to make a motion to accept the amended from the agency to accept the governor's recommendation of 171-661-636.
Is there a second? Second by Harshman?
Well,
okay, discussion.
No, that way, right?
Wait, it's a governor's rec.
Mr. Chairman. Or Mr. Madam Hines. Chairman, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead, Bill.
Just one other thing. I mean, there's a written explanation on page 20 that
that's mm-hmm. what I'm focusing
top
on.
Little paragraph.
I'd like to unravel that, if you would, please. If you withdraw your motion. The governor's rec takes the narrative, too. And I'd like
to, Madam Chair, the $25 million that's in that top paragraph on page 20, there, you'll have to act on that separately. There's a... That's not reflected in the bottom line on this page 21. So that additional $25 million to add to the auditor's $25 million reserve to make it a total of 50, that's not part of this.
All right. So the motion on the floor, Gov's Rec, does not include the $25 million Medicaid reserve.
Correct.
Does not.
That's affirmative. Yeah. Right. Does not include.
Yeah.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you. Does the governor's rec on page 19, there's this note about 66.2 in the general fund, 19.6 in federal ARRA funds, and 85.8 in federal funds. Are those ARRA funds that we have already received, or are those funds that could be in jeopardy?
Mr. May.
Madam Chair, that is a suggested reserve amount for ARRA funds that won't be available in 2013 and 14. So this suggestion is to put that money aside, recognizing that those federal dollars aren't going to be there. Richard shaking his head now.
Yep. Mr. Cox.
Madam Chairman, I think Representative Wallace was talking about the 171, the actual money going into the budget, the $19 million, and not the $48 million for ARRA. Is that?
Well, that's, Madam Chairman, that's what I'm trying to sort out, is we have this $25 million that we've discussed before. That's set aside. But in this little note from the governor, 66.2, 19.6, and 85.8, is that what adds up to 171,661?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the motion that's on the floor, and then the $25 million is a separate motion. Okay? Does everybody understand? Exactly. So all those in favor of governor's
Madam Chair.
Bill?
Time out.
Okay.
The 48, and I think I misunderstood Representative Wallace's question, but the committee needs to be clear that this $48.9 million is a set-aside for 13-14 as a replacement for ARRA funds that won't be there in 13-14 that are currently being expended. So, right, at minimum, we're going to have to, unless the committee puts some kind of footnote language or separates us out and puts it in Section 300, does something with language that says the department shall not spend any of this general fund, any of this $48 million general fund in the 11-12 budget, they'll be authorized to expend that unless it's otherwise stated. So we need to be clear what this is. This
right.
is a set-aside for next biennium.
I mean, what?
Representative Edmonds, why don't you go ahead with your question?
So, well, I don't know if I just want to clarify. So we have a motion on the floor for the first paragraph of the governor's recommendation, which is broken down into three amounts, the 66 general fund, 19 federal ARRA, and 85 federal funds. Then I think we need a second motion to deal with the $25,000 set aside and a third for Bill's concerns about the 48 ARRA. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's what I thought we needed to do. But
three motions.
Time out again.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
What do you think, Bill?
I want to make some motions, but I just want to make sure I'm right.
Okay.
Yeah, start off at the beginning.
I knew this was going to be our stickler. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're
we
all
haven't done anything yet
additive.
On those. On, I know. Yeah, you're right, Michael. I know that. Yeah. It's just for your information that we're going to have to backfill. All right, Mr. Mai.
The 48's in addition.
Yep, okay. So, all right, so we have a motion on the floor to accept the governor's rec at the one. You want to have a discussion? Okay, go ahead. All right. Mr. Co-Chairman.
In the governor's recs, there's $171 million on page 21. Of that amount, a portion of it is a carry-forward amount to be used in the next biennium. I would like to have that amount identified before we vote.
Madam Chair? Right here.
Michael, I'm sorry. Senator Von Slatern.
I guess I'm a little lost on Mr. Co-Chair's. The $19 million is ARRA funds available that are making up this formula. They're unrelated to the $25 million or the footnote about there being $48 million or so in the next one. So,
Senator Von Slatern, just wait for your explanation until we have their attention. All right, Michael. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the motion of the 171 is based on federal, state, and ARRA funds, which are available, equaling 171. The $25 million is a separate motion of a set-aside based on ARRA funds. And then the bottom is a more of an informational note, just saying that in the next biennium, be prepared to backfill what has been used as operating funds in the past. So I think we could dispense with the first motion that's on the floor and then deal with the other two immediately afterwards.
Yeah. Senator Meyer.
And with that, I agree with that. However, the $25 million doesn't show up in the 171, and why wasn't it part of the spreadsheet, I guess, over on page 21 is a question I'd have.
Madam Chair, I tripped over this language myself just now, and the Senator Von Flatern is right. The 25, the 48, both those set-aside amounts are simply being referenced here. They're not included in these numbers on page 21.
Thank you.
So page 21 stands alone. You can vote on it. And you, if you decide to put aside the 48.9 and the 25 for future pots of money for health, you'll have to do that separately.
Mr. Madam Chair.
Representative Harshman.
Bill, this question on page 20 then of our budget book, and it's really the last sentence of the governor's second paragraph where it says the governor has included ARRA replacement funds in his profile. I think that's part that's confusing us all.
That's what confused me too, yeah. Madam Chairman. And that's on that profile in the front of the book. And I think they're just trying to make sure that everybody was clear that this is where all that fits, but it's not included in the numbers on page 21.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right.
Before we vote on it, on the staff analysis of the growth load, where's our staff analysis? Did you do one on that?
You mean our blue book?
The question is, did we do something to confirm that from our analysis, our staff, that the $66 million of general fund was really required?
Mr. Mai.
Madam Chair, we do have some information that we've prepared. I'm not sure that the committee has it, though. Don, have you? We'll have to get that to you.
I guess the real question is if we looked at that, would it affect our decision? Would it go higher or lower than the $66 million?
Ms. Agar?
Doesn't.
Bill?
Doesn't answer that question. This shows the growth.
Yeah, Madam Chair, it does. It's an analysis of history, kind of the same way as this. And I think what Jill Jansen from the Budget Office did was try to give you some background for how the Department of Health arrived at, and the Budget Office, with, you know, in consultation with the Budget Office, how they arrived at these numbers. So I think really probably the more pertinent analysis for making this decision right now is on 18 and 19.
Right.
The profile shows you how they did the extrapolation.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I guess I don't want to speak for Jill, and she's certainly welcome to step in here, but I think her point was
Well, Bill, why don't we have Jill
say that this is a worst-case scenario.
Yeah. Is that correct? You've been sitting here a long time, Jill. It'd be good for you to give us a little input on this profile.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if you look at page 19, on 18 is just basically data, their actual cost for running the entire Medicaid program. And what the governor had instructed me to do, and we worked with LSO, is we took, this is all based on averages, and we took two-year averages. So if you look at the very bottom of page 19, you have the highest cost for 2010. And then you have the next column, we did an average cost for 2009-10. And why we took 2 years is because that's how we budget. We felt taking a two-year average probably gives us a better look. And then the last column is we took the two-year average, the 2009-10, and then multiplied it by a growth rate that we're seeing for 2011.
What is in the present auditor's reserve?
$25 million.
And what is the condition for expenditure at this point? Is it now governor's recs? Or can the governor spring that loose, or does it have to take the legislative action?
$9 million. Madam Chair, the governor can release $9 million.
$9 million, and the
Representative Wallace.
So, looking on page 19, the 66.2 is derived by adding the highest cost in the first column to the average growth times the 2011 growth rate. Is that how you came up with the 66?
Yeah. Madam Chair, you're asking for the highest cost for 2010. Is that the column you're looking at?
I'm trying to figure out where $66,238,18 came from.
Madam Chair, where that came from, if you looked at the very last column,
yep.
And what I did is took that number and then ran it against their number, which I projected their number being a little too high for the average cost that we're seeing. And Department of Health is in agreement with it. They're seeing the trend go down. And then I also took the entire Department of Health, and that's where you see the $5 million in that narrative, that I project as we are going, the Department of Health will have an extra $5 million in general fund. But that does not take into account some special projects. So what I do is take expenditures at this point and then run them out as a projection over 24 months. And it gave me about almost $6 million of extra general fund. But you have to realize, too, sometimes there's extra things that haven't taken place. But we did take that into account because they cannot maybe do a project.
Mm. We have a motion on that motion. Okay.
All right.
Good.
Madam Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Jill.
I'd like to make the following motion. All right. Take a look at page 21. The general fund appropriation is $66,239,818.
Right.
I would move that we reduce that amount by $25 million, taking it down to $41,239,818. There will be a corresponding reduction in federal money. And the second part of the same motion is that in the present $25 million auditor's reserve, that the restriction be modified to allow the entire $25 million to be accessed by the governor, so that the motion will reduce the $66 million to $25 million, or by $25 million to $41,239,818. We modify the $25 million in auditor's reserve to allow the $25 million to be accessed by the governor. Now, when the governor accesses that $25 million, it will also ratchet in the corresponding federal dollars. So the federal dollars will be reduced on our profile sheet, but if he calls for the $25 million, then he reinstates the federal dollars. Second?
Second. Senator Von Flatern?
Okay, so I understand the motion, but what I'm trying to figure out is we're looking at possibly, as a recommendation, putting $25 million more in there as a backstop on Medicaid, possibly as a recommendation by the governor. And so I'm wondering why we're reaching in grabbing that now when, in reality, a recommendation to us is to have 50 in there at some point due to lack of ARRA funds in the future.
Well,
I'm just curious. And expenses going up.
I'll just tell you, it's not mine. I mean, when we get to there, it would not be mine. I would not support putting more money in there. The money's in the LSRA. It's available if we need it. We need to get the budget under control. My personal belief is that when we began this process of putting money in the auditor's reserves for Medicaid, it was a process began about 8 years ago at a time when we didn't have an LSRA, at a time where we were concerned that we wouldn't have the money in the next budget. We're no longer in the same circumstance anymore. If we come back next year and we have the money, we can find the money to fund it. So the issue is what's this agency going to live on? What this would do is provide the sufficient monies to meet the governor's recs. Then, and if they can't meet it, they come back in the next budget and they'll have to ask for a supplemental request. Now, their burn rate is about, I don't know, I'd have to look at it, but just do the math, it's about $30 or $40 million a month, I think. What's their burn rate a
Jill,
month?
Jill, do you know that?
Take the 395 and divide it by 24. Is that right?
Senator Von Flatern.
I think that page on 19, page 19, shows you kind of a what I understand to be a.
I mean, that's an average.
She average
did the 2 year averages there.
That's, I understand.
On top
so
of
I've
19.
Where are you looking at?
If you go to top of 19, total cost, and you go July through December. So those were the averages, and the high was.
They've got a $40 million a month burn rate. So if they're $50 million short, that's 1 month. So when we come back next year, there's still 3-4 months out front of us, so there's still $150 million. But there comes a time where we're bringing a new director in. Let's see if they can do it. In addition, these numbers are heavily influenced by the employment rates and things like that. We're seeing employment coming back up in the counties. One would hope that would have a positive influence on this.
Well, Mr. Co-Chairman, my only other question I have is, what is the consequences on the federal funds if we do it this way? I mean, I want to make certain that...
They just be 11 them in.
Okay, just... Right, I just want to make
sure. Bill, you have a concern.
Go ahead, Mr. Meyer.
What do I do?
Thing, Mr. Chair, there are a couple of concerns, and I think you're right. And actually, I think your initial thinking about the burn rate, quote-unquote, of general fund, the way I took what you were initially saying was about general fund, because bear in mind those numbers, the high cost, the average cost, all of that, that's total. That's
right.
General and federal, and it's about 50-50. That said, just to remind the committee, the department is carrying forward a $21 million hole from 910 biennium. So,
and I understand that, but if the that's and that the $25 million picks that up, but at some point we got to stop having those carry forward negative balances.
And also, they don't have that yet, but they were anticipating a little over $9 million in federal funds that are to come in, but they didn't know about that yet and hadn't been in receipt of it. So that could occur while we're still here in session. Okay. Senator Von Slater.
Okay, I want to talk about the $21 million in the hole. That's not into this 171, which originally was a request of 192. So I'm just curious, if that's not in there, are we covering it somewhere else? I mean, that's okay. My own edification here.
Yeah, Mr. Mai. Or do you want Jill to come?
Well, Madam Chair, I don't want to interrupt the committee's proceedings, but I think that's part of what the recommendation for the additional 25 into the auditor's account was about. Mm-hmm. But again, the chair raises a real valid point, and both chairs actually raise very valid points in that Department of Health was cautioning about that trend of employment again and the tracking of these numbers with that the latest information I got from Bob Peck was that they did see that thing. If you remember, the two graphs diverge, they did see the next month that corresponding downturn that we would have expected. That's the first thing. The second thing is the $9 million, $11 million, whatever that floating number is that Madam Coach or Madam Chairman referred to. So the $21 million is a pretty hard, or it's pretty shifting ground to stand on at this point. In addition to that, though, somehow it would probably be good for the committee to at least think about how to authorize the department to fix that hole one way or the other, whether it's B11ing funds back into 910 via, out of the 11-12 appropriation or whatever it is, because to conform with federal regulations, that money, in the end, once everything's settled, that's got to balance.
Let me ask you, with follow that up, do we need, the problem with trying to do this on the fly, that's a reconciliation that they could do with Flex through the B11 process, so that's the governor's problem.
Is that if we give them the $25 million
Flex? Do you agree
or not? Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I personally agree with you. I think given the magnitude of this problem, my guess is the budget office, the governor's office, and the Department of Health are all going to be more comfortable if they feel like JC is blessed whatever it is that needs to be done. But
I'm not prepared to bless it.
I don't feel blessings here at all, but go ahead, Mr. Co-Chairman.
Madam Chairman, so the motion on the floor is to reduce the amount by $25 million to remove the legislative restriction on the $25 million in the auditor's reserves. That then allows them to the governor to access that $25 million to meet his present governor's rec, if required.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Senator Meyer.
A question on ARRA funds as far as the $19 million there. Is that any specific ratio or match, or can that all be burned before your regular FMAP monies?
Jill, would you like to respond to that?
Madam Chair, Senator, they are burning the ARRA first. So what
okay.
They do, I mean, it's a small portion of it, but they do burn that first. They should be through that by June.
Question being called on the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries.
Madam Chairman, is there under the budget that exists now, we have this discussion about tools the department has, and one of them is the testing of the Medicaid eligibility, whether it's done once a year or twice a year. Is that something that's internally driven, that they could do the testing more than once a year, or is that something they need authority to do testing?
Mr. Chairman, if I remember from testimony, that's something that I think that they have to work on internally, and did they also have to get approval from CMS to do that? DFS, yeah. Don, can you respond?
Madam Chairman, Senator Nicholas, the way I understand it, those requirements have been put in place by the agency. That is their directive to Department of Family Services and how to administer the plan. And as I understand it from the Department of Health's testimony, they could change that, except that that is an eligibility requirement, and now under Health Care Reform Act,
right,
they cannot make any significant changes to eligibility requirements at this time without jeopardizing the loss of federal funding.
That's correct.
Madam Chair.
Representative Edmonds.
But another question. I know I heard the same testimony that going from the 12 to the 6 is tied to the ARRA and then tied to the health care that the Congress just passed. But the very front end, the gatekeeping on DFS, on getting real-time data and really guarding that eligibility process at the beginning, is that something we need to act upon? Because I agreed with the motion and I voted for the motion, but I also think we have to give the Department of Health the tools they need to be a little more diligent. Is that something we need to act upon, or can they act upon it?
Well, Representative Edmonds, if you also remember from that testimony, is that they have an antiquated automation system that doesn't allow them to gather all the information efficiently to address this issue, too. So go ahead, Senator.
Madam Chairman, it's my expectation that you set the budget, and there'll be an aggressive effort to stay within the budget. My concern is that we're setting a budget in health, and much of the demand is regulated by DFS. And so the issue is, how do we get two agencies together to manage a budget, and whether or not we require some coordination through the governor's office to do that, or whether we just leave it to the executive branch to find the solution.
Don?
Madam Chairman, Senator Nicholas, actually the Department of Family Services administers the eligibility according to Department of Health's direction. So it would appear.
I thought I heard that the Department of Health was complaining that they didn't feel like DFS was doing a good job at it. Did I misread them?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, DOH said that they don't have control of that information coming to them. Go ahead, Don.
Madam Chairman, I would agree with the characterization that the system is antiquated and that DFS would probably like to be able to get better information out of it. This is when I believe some of that IRIS discussion came up, because Medicaid eligibility would have been a part of the redesign of the eligibility system in its entirety at Department of Family Services. But as far as the administration of the program, the agencies are coordinated. Department of Family Services acts at the behest of the Department of Health.
Senator Meyer?
Have we have an official ruling from the feds that if we went to a six-month eligibility standard that it would be in violation?
Don?
Madam Chairman, Senator Meyer, I don't know that the agency has pursued that as a specific request to the federal government. I don't know that that's even waiverable, so to speak. So I don't know that they have pursued that.
Madam Chairman, I think we've had the testimony that that would probably help us in our controlling costs. And I think that's a question that needs to be answered. So I don't know whether we have to specifically direct the administration to seek a determination on that, because there's no reason to spend extra money for DFS automation unless there's a benefit out of it, and this is the perceived benefit. So I think it may be appropriate just to say that the executive branch shall seek a determination whether we could move to a six-month eligibility standard.
Right. I think that works. And also, if you remember in that testimony that if they were to move to a new automation system, it's most probable that they could receive 90% federal funding for that automation once they figured out the program that they needed in order to coordinate.
What do they need authorization to undertake that route?
John?
Madam Chairman, I think the agency, this is just my understanding, I would imagine that they would appreciate that authorization or that directive from the committee.
Give me the words back. What would be the authorization that we would put in a footnote?
Madam Chairman, Senator Nicholas.
Senator Meyer said that about the executive direction.
I think Senator Meyer's language was appropriate as far as the direction of suggesting that the agency pursue a waiver, maybe, to a determination from the federal government whether or not they could reconsider that part of the eligibility requirements, and that the agency, I'm not sure, maybe, I'm just thinking now, you know, as far as pursuing an eligibility system, you might want the agency to approach you with a request for funds that's more specific. Not exactly I hate to tell you how to approach it.
Well, let's do this then. You know the motion?
Yeah.
Right. Why don't you put your down,
Madam Chairman, I guess what I would propose is that in a footnote to in the Department of Health here, we say that the department shall seek a determination as to the as to whether we can change our eligibility from a 12-month determination to a 6-month determination for eligibility without affecting the...
Go ahead. The way we write the footnote is the department shall implement a 6-month determination upon requesting an approval of...
You don't have your mic on.
Yeah, that's fine.
The footnote would be that we direct the department to... seek approval for a 6-month eligibility determination, and upon approval, implement the system. And then check with health to get the correct language. And then I think it's part of that motion. We also say the department is for the department, along with Department of Family Services, is directed to. Undertake what is the software change for the software change to improve the information tracking, and then Don, you get the exact words from Department of Health, but that would be the gist of the motion.
Okay, so we have a motion. It's first and second. By Meyer first and Nicholas. Okay, now discussion.
On that motion, we kind of pulled in DFS, and I think with the inference when we get to DFS when we get to appropriating for the new computer software or whatever, that appropriation is contingent upon the approval of the 6-month eligibility standard. Otherwise, we receive no benefit.
I got the feeling we get a benefit from the new tracking system one way or the other.
Yes.
What was your assessment of that, Don?
That if we had the new tracking system in place, that would be more efficient and help us?
For all purposes. So I guess let's just leave it there. And then the way it's set up, there's no funding for that, so they're going to have to they'll have to B11 those funds or get federal funds to do it.
Yeah. Don?
Madam Chairman, Senator Nicholas, I remember from this last discussion, this came up, you know, in December.
Right.
And I had called Department of Family Services and talked to the administrator of the eligibility benefits. That's one of her, of the public assistance division. That's not the name of it, but economic assistance. At any rate, she did tell me that their
that DFS is coordinating with the CIO's office and the Department of Health to discuss this, what their current system is called, EPICS. They're doing an EPICS assessment, and that they've had a technical assessment done by the vendor. It's been recently finished. So I believe that some of this is in the process and that they may be prepared to even bring a request for funds next year.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Well, I guess if in the event that they can be 11, if the CIO were to approve it, then and they could find the B11 funds to do it, what I'd want to do is, you could do it anyway, but this is really an encouragement for that to take place. But I think the motion is broad enough that that sets the policy where we're going, and then if there's not sufficient funds in the B11 process, they'll have to wait for an appropriation. If there is, then maybe that's something that can be initiated in our absence.
Representative Wallace?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thinking back some 30 years when I was a single mom with kids trying to go to the university, there was a period of time when I depended on some assistance. And I'm almost certain that when I signed the paperwork to receive that assistance, that there was a requirement that if my income changed substantially at all during that time, that I had to notify that office, and my assistance was immediately adjusted. So is that no longer the case, in that if you're just on, you're on for a year and you don't have to report? And if you do have to report, what's the penalty for not reporting correctly?
Don?
Madam Chairman, I can answer a little bit.
Yes, you can.
That you are correct, Representative Wallace. You are the recipients are required to report their significant income changes to the department. However, that is not done, in my understanding, with this. There are some people that might forget to do that.
So by speeding it up to the, changing it to the 6 month, then we have an official review of the eligibility.
Madam
and that's
Chairman,
what would help
correct.
Us moving forward on that. Okay, great. Go ahead.
So under that scenario, at either a 6 month or a 12 month review, person comes in, receives assistance. Things change substantially in month one. They stay on assistance for the entire year, and then they just don't show up to reapply. What recourse do we have?
Done.
Madam Chairman, Representative Wallace, this is stepping outside my purview of knowledge somewhat. I know that there is a quality control and review unit in the Department of Family Services. However, unless the agency would have some reason to know that there was some kind of, reporting discrepancy, they might not know whether or, they wouldn't know to go and investigate that. So, and as for the penalties, I'm not sure. I know that should it be discovered that, depending on how large the case is, they could choose to prosecute that person. At a minimum, they would probably go pursue a refund. But you might, if folks are in, these kinds of need situations, there may not be a way of recovering those funds. That's just.
And I recall from the testimony that DOH gave us, it was that the fraud component of it was, in their view, small of the overall picture of what we're dealing with. So they did stress that something that would really help them, that was one of Dr. Sherrard's key points, was the eligibility and being able to review it at 6 months would be a good component for cost containment in moving forward with the Medicaid costs. All right, so I believe we have an amended motion on the floor. Isn't that correct, Senator Nicholas? And we need to get approval.
Submit a motion. We've already
we had a motion first.
The $25 million motion.
Yep.
passed. Now the motion is to add a footnote.
Right. Bill?
Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, the 25 passed. Is it your understanding that the modification to the Section 306 language also passed, allowing the governor to?
No.
That's what's on the floor right now.
No. We haven't gone to that yet. This is a separate motion to add a footnote to do two things.
Oh, yeah.
We did add the thing that the governor could access the auditor's thing.
Right, but then the motion that they have on the floor, the footnote, was the direction of the eligibility for 6 months and the direction to have the new software implemented or figure it out.
Question
being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Chairman, while we're here, I move that we reject the governor's recommendation to add an additional $25 million to the auditor's account.
Is there a second? Seconded by Edmonds. Senator Von Flatern, comment? Did you have your hand up?
I just never really got an explanation of how the $21 million hole back there.
Okay.
How the
Senator Von Flatern, can you repeat it?
How the backfill $21 million hole that we have existing is going to be filled, and I really thought this additional $25 million to the governor's office was possibly intended for that. So that's my question,
Mr. Mai. Can you give us another explanation on that?
Well, Madam Chair, I think that was kind of the overall picture of the overall pot of money, and but I also don't want to enter into the committee's discussion because I think the co-chair explained his position with the 25 currently in there and the modification to that Section 300 language, which is actually what I was getting at, Phil, was the modification of the $16 million and the $9 million language in that earlier Section 300. Was that part of your original motion too?
Yes, that entire 25. On the original motion, the entire 25 was now available to the governor, which means that, in effect, the combination of these two motions, the governor has access to the exact same amount of money that he had proposed. The governor had proposed that there be $50 million sitting in the auditor's reserve account, which could only be accessed by legislative action, although there may be arguably yet $9 million, but so maybe there's a $9 million change. But that $50 million in general, other than the $9 million, would have required legislative action anyway. So all I'm saying is we don't make a piggy bank for one agency. The agency, if it needs some money when it comes back, will do a supplemental request to complete the year. But I over time, I've become convinced that the practice of putting a reserve account for one agency, it was bad practice, and it gives a suggestion that we don't intend budgets to be adhered to, and that money is just simply available if they don't hit the targets. So the idea is to give the governor same access. Now, we could have done the same thing by simply appropriating the $62 million of general fund and then removing the $25 million and putting that was there, but it just seemed to me that by keeping that $25 million in the auditor's reserve and forcing them to go to the governor to spring that loose will make the governor more involved in the budget process so that he'll know when they need that $25 million. It'll force him to be part of the planning exercise.
Question being called. All those in favor of rejecting the governor's rec, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Unit 480. Oh, excuse
me. As amended.
As amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that was actually Unit 462. And now we're on Unit 480.
Madam Chairman.
That was 461.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped a page. Yep. Okay. You're
462,
right. 462,
GovsRec.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Well, Madam Chairman.
Oh, Richard.
Could we just take a quick time out here?
Certainly.
Back on
461?
461.
Yes, sir.
We just need to know clarification a little bit on how we're supposed to proceed with the $21 million shortfall from 910. Is it the committee's intent that we work with the agency to move money from the current biennium back to 910 to cover that shortfall?
Well, let me ask back. What was the governor's rec with respect to that?
Well, the governor's rec was that, yeah, we handle it that way.
Was that what?
Well, the governor's position was that, yeah, we deal with the 910 shortfall as best we can, and that was one of the options, was to move money between the bienniums. And you guys talked around it, and we just want to know that if that would happen, if you would still be good with that.
Well, I guess my view of it is it exists. It needs to be taken care of, but you take care of it with the budgeted funds. Does that answer the question?
We just wanted to be clear.
I mean, so, yeah. We're not appropriating the $21 million to do it, so
right.
The agency has to manage it with the new appropriations.
Right, we understand. Yeah.
And if the governor needs to access the $25 million to do that, it's there.
Right.
That makes sense?
Everybody okay? All right. Unit 462, Governor's Rex. All those in favor, please say aye. Representative or Senator Peterson.
Is this the question that I had on the that's the next one. I'm sorry.
Right, this is foster care?
Yep. One ahead.
All right. Governor's Rex. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Unit 480, Comprehensive Waiver Services.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Senator Peterson.
This was our select committee on developmental disability and services, and we addressed this. This was one of our marching orders, was to address the gap between these service units. And so we have a bill that's trying to address that with a fiscal note attached to it for 1.8. And I'm trying to make sense of the department's request and our amount on the bill. And I thought I was understanding it until this was put on our desk. And I think we need some clarification on what the department's asking, and because I'm kind of unsure right now about what we're.
Okay, so Senator Peterson, you're talking about the Wyoming Community Services Provider List sheet? Is that
yes.
The one?
Yes.
Okay, that we all just got today?
Yes.
All right.
The bill, the Senate File 29, we're trying to address these this gap that exists
right.
From the last year, and it's quite sizable. So in our bill, we have a $1.85 million request to make up that gap. Now, you compare that to the fiscal or to the request of the Department of Health, and it's 1.27 in general funds to be matched with the 1.27 in federal funds. So the numbers don't match up, and I thought maybe we just place those numbers on that bill as a kind of a placeholder until we had the better estimates from the Department of Health. And I thought that was the understanding, but then I got this on my desk, and now I'm really confused.
Well, Senator Peterson, if you go back to page 24. That calculation comes from priority number 12, the basis for request under A, and then it shows the number of units and the rate by the providers to get to that total. And then I'll follow up with Senator Von Flatern.
Madam Chair, I think I'm the cause of the confusion because this handout is unrelated to what we're looking at.
Okay.
But Senator Peterson brings up a really good point because the bill that his committee is sponsoring, or I'm not sure if it has Senator Peterson's name on it itself, but is 1.8. So it's actually a 3.7 almost federal and general fund. And so that leads to my confusion along with Senator Peterson and why it is now 2.5 in here, dealing with his bill at 3.7 probably, 2.5. This is a separate subject, which I'd like to bring up after we're done settling this.
Okay,
issue.
So we're going to take care of Unit 480 first.
This would be an addition amendment to 482.
Okay, so let's clarify this one. Bill or Don, can you assist us with that, or Jill on this component?
And
Madam Chairman, we're not familiar with the bill to be able to speak to
right, no, I know that. So, but on the figures in the book, was I correct in how we came to that.
Madam Chair, just briefly, I just wanted to alert the committee. Usually in the past, as we've had these type of requests and we've had separate bills, we've just alerted the staff to be aware of that so it's not doubled up on and double appropriated. So I just wanted to alert them to that. There is one more appropriation, excuse me, in our bill for the brain waiver, and that was for the $50,000. And that amount differs. They've got $76,000 for that. So the numbers just aren't matching up, and I just wanted to know why. But
well, I mean, I,
go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
There is a so what is the general fund appropriation in the bill that the select committee came out with?
Madam Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, it was $1.85 million from the general fund.
So whether that's duplicative or additive of this number that's on page 26?
I don't, Mr. Chairman. I don't.
Motion, Gus Rec.
Okay. All in favor of the motions of the governor's recs, please say aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Senator Von Flickern.
If this is a proper time, Madam Chair. On your desk is a handout that attempts to restore in the DD for your community providers, and most of us have a community provider at least close by. And so they were cut 10% like everybody else was a couple of years back, and we restored 6% to them. So to continue that, to bring them back to the level they were, and when you count inflation, they're really hurting. Should this money pass that we just voted on, it restores at least the number of days they're providing, where they were caught on that too, so they were missing a couple million more dollars. But what this shows you is that federal funds and general fund portion of what it'll take to restore your community provider on the DD waivers back to their 2008. And so my proposal, Madam Chair, is to add 2.2 in general fund back onto the child DD, adult DD, and ABI waivers.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Hastert. Further discussion on the motion.
Madam Chairman, these folks have already been treated better than other state agencies. They've already had the restoration. Cuts were the cuts. People were expected to do it. The state agencies did it. They ought to be required to live with the cuts.
Madam Chair.
Senator Von Flatern.
Mr. Co-Chair, I do agree with the fact that there should be some equality in funding of state agencies if they all haven't been restored. I can tell you these are private enterprises, nonprofits that are trying to make it, and they are doing it for less money than when we do take that same customer, client of theirs, and put them to the state system and provide for them in Lander. So my recommendation here is that these people are saving us quite a bit of money. And on top of that, they're also private sector, by the way. I know I had another thought to this, but it just left me. But this is actually a savings to the state. If these people go under and these clients end up under state care, you'll be the estimate, and I wish I'd brought the facts. I do have a sheet that shows it about triple the cost. So my recommendation still stands.
Madam Chairman, I can tell you that the industry are well-paying jobs in Laramie. These people have good benefit systems. I don't see any indication anybody's going to be quitting on the salaries. Certainly everybody wants more money, but there's no indication that any of the, at least for the Laramie operation, that their ability to serve clients is at jeopardy. They have all kinds of other resources. They have, and these are only parts of their budgets.
I'm sure.
Senator Fonslater.
They're averaging about $13 an hour in my town, and I can tell you that's pretty equivalent to a fast food wage in my town. And these people, most of them either, A, they're required to have a degree, minimally a bachelor's, and if they're not required to have a degree, they have background checks, regular sobriety tests, everything that puts them in touch with that allows them to be, in some cases, 24-hour care with their clients. So added to that is a waiting list of about 360. And one of the reasons there's that waiting list is that we can't, and the state probably can't at this point, and I'm not asking to fund to that level. But if we can bring these people up on the amount of money they require to break even and pay their people hopefully a little bit more, that we definitely can start whittling away at the 360 citizens of Wyoming that are not being cared for.
Senator Von Flatern, do you know that the information on bullet point 3 on the front page of this handout, that waiting list, is that current with the DOH numbers of each of those waivers through December?
Madam Chair, number 3, where it lists the wait list as of 10/31, mm-hmm. My last figure was as of my meeting on sometime before New Year's, so the end of December, had it closer to 360 at that point. But that's
close to 360, okay.
Exactly.
Senator Meyer.
Move to amend to 1 million.
Is there a second? Second by Pedersen. Further discussion on that amendment?
Madam Chairman.
Senator.
It moves us down the road, addresses the issue, although not as fully as the interest group wants us to, but it moves us down the road.
Okay. Further discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment is approved. Okay. Now we're back on the... I have to do an amended amendment.
No, the motion on the floor now is the $1 million, and on against the amendment, Madam Chairman, we're requiring all other agencies, other people, to state government to adhere their budgets. There's been no ECA for school teachers who are in this budget. There are, frankly, there is a perception that everybody needs to keep their budgets straightened. You know, if these people have budget problems, tell them to bring their whole budget in, all their revenues, and let's take a look at all their budgets, and then we'll start looking to see where they need to have cuts. But they can live with their budgets. They are living with them now.
Senator Von Flatern.
And, Madam Chair, I guess I could have had the department bring those in because no doubt they were reviewed according to how they what their costs are. And being nonprofits, it's an open book in that case. So I didn't have that with me. I am supporting the $1 million. I think it gets us started on the road, and we'll work on it next time.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator Pedersen.
I was also talked to about this, and of course this falls under the Department of Health, and the complaint that I've heard from not only this organization but others, these providers, as being on that select committee, was that the cuts were disproportionate from the main department, Department of Health. And so that's the fairness issue again, is some took a higher percent cut than others.
Madam Chairman, we already restored money to their budget last time on that
6%.
Same argument.
We did, yes, that's correct. Last session it was 6% restoration. Further discussion on the amendment? All right, calling for the question. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Let's see. Raise your hands for aye. Fails. Any further discussion on this unit? Gov's rec. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We better go, Mr. Co-Chairman. Let's see where we... Yeah. Let's stop here at... so we'll pick up on unit 482. On ABI. So thank you, everyone. We'll come back after a third reading.